Hey, everybody. Just starting off the show right away to say this is the week, the big week you've been waiting for.
Get your tickets.
Get your tickets. The link is in our bios. You can go to On Location Live. That's what it's called, right, Joelle? And it's this Thursday. This Thursday, everybody, we are doing a live show with Johnny C. McGinley. And I think we've got two special guests now. I haven't even told you. I think the second surprise.
Keep it to yourself.
No, I think this, you know, the first special guest. I think the second one I'm going to keep as a surprise for you. I'm going to work it out with Joelle and Daniel, but I want to surprise you with a special guest.
Wow. Well, then all I got to say is be sure to get your ticket.
Yes.
Mm. Don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. You better hurry. Don't you miss it.
Yeah, go to onlocationlive.com, and it's going to be this Thursday, 9-9. By the way, if you're on the East Coast of the United States of America, it's going to be 9-9 at 9.
9-9-9. Like SportsCenter.
Yeah, there you go. And a lot of you international folks are asking me, hey, I can't stay up that late. Can I listen? Can I watch it the next day? Yes, you can watch it for up to a week. After, right, Joelle?
Yes, a week after it airs.
Just grab it, get a ticket, and you can watch it whenever you want for up to a week after. That's it. Click on the link in our bios or go to onlocationlive.com. See you Thursday.
Can't wait!
How much do you think I need to offer the ice cream truck man to give me some hours off of the melody?
Are you really? Is it really an issue like that? Is it truly an issue?
Listen, somebody once said that no is just the beginning of a conversation. And I feel like his insistence on playing Pop Goes the Weasel 24/7 is the beginning of a conversation between he and I.
May I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
If you can somehow get a petition going.
That's a lot of work.
I know,
I'm thinking more about like a Chris Pundy. How much time does a Chris Pundy get?
It's not going to get you much. He's going to be like, the reason why I keep it on is because when people walk by, they automatically think, oh, I want ice cream. It's summer.
Right.
Isn't New York hot right now?
It is, bro. But I think we could come to some sort of arrangement. Like, how about you play it at the top of the hour?
Right.
For 5 minutes. Pop Goes the Weasel. Bam. Everybody, come and get it.
Uh-huh.
And then when you're parked there all day, you don't keep it on a loop. I'm worried, frankly, about the entire neighborhood's sanity.
I feel like the real solution is get him additional songs.
You want?
Yes, that's a good idea, Joelle.
You need an alternating music stuff, so it's just not...
What would be other song? What are in the ice cream... truck. What's in the catalog for ice cream trucks?
The catalog of ice cream trucks.
We're gonna make a whole new lane.
I don't know, but I don't understand. I have so many questions. Like, does his rig have other songs?
He's just choosing Pop Goes the Weasel.
He's sitting there like, hey, let me see. Coming Around the Mountain. No.
It'd be great if he had some of our songs, like. Well, what you trying to get into, but in that ice cream truck bell, like. Yes. Yeah, that would be amazing. I'm sure a lot
of sound people get on it.
I'm sure I'll eventually zone it out. You know, like I grew up next to a train track, and you know, eventually after a certain amount of time, you never even hear the trains, and when you occasionally did, it was kind of nice. I'm thinking that maybe, you know, I just moved back to New York. I haven't been here since before the pandemic. And I'm thinking that eventually I'll just zone out, tune out Pop Goes the Weasel. But so far, I'm very aware of Pop Goes the Weasel at all times. This is a torture technique they use on people.
Yes. Yeah, call Homeland Security.
Do you know the actual lyrics to Pop Goes the Weasel? Have you gone into the rabbit hole yet? Have you been like, all
no,
right,
but I got binoculars and I stare at the truck. And I'm like a hitman. I stare at the truck. And when I walk by sometimes, I look at the tiny little wire that goes to the PA, speaker.
Okay.
And I see how easy it would be to clip. You know, if I had like some head shears, I could just sort of reach and get it reaching
him. Well, now you can't do anything because you'd be snitching on yourself. If anything happens to this poor guy's ice cream truck now, people are going to be like, Zach Braff did that shit.
No, I'm going to be like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to snip that fucking wire, and then I'm going to leave him a hundy, a crisp hundy in an envelope and say, this is for wire repair. Come get some ice cream.
Come get some ice cream. Hey,
come get some ice cream. You want some fucking ice cream? I know you fucking want it. You want that fucking ice cream?
Come
and fucking get it.
Come get some ice cream. I do like it.
I'm gonna.
I like it. That could be a fucking rock ballad. Just power chords. You fucking want some ice cream. You fucking want to get it. You fucking want some ice cream. Come get some ice cream.
I'll drizzle hot chocolate on it.
All around the mercy. All around your ice cream. I'll dribble chocolate on it. Come get some ice cream.
Yeah, all right, we've taken it too far.
These are big thoughts.
Hey, I miss you. I love you both. We don't have Daniel here today, everyone, so no one will say...
Zach, I love you.
Oh, sorry, wrong button.
You honor me. You honor me.
You know, I've had a lot of technical issues already. You had technical issues in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And Daniel's not here.
I know. Mm. It's a
it's
sign.
Interesting.
I bet he's probably riding that pole right now, trying to get some money. How about your boy DaBaby? He came crashing down this week,
what
huh?
I haven't even paid attention to what he said.
DaBaby decided to go full like horrible homophobia.
Yeah, I heard that.
I saw today. He's finally like, someone got to him, and he's like, I apologize. I didn't even see what he said, but like he was
two
doubling
shows
down.
Canceled on him.
Everybody was canceling. Dua Lipa took the fucking song, the number one song that they have together, mm-hmm. down.
Lollapalooza kicked him off. They were like, you can't perform here anymore.
I don't know anything about DaBaby other than that song I've been listening to for like a half a year with Dua Lipa. Mm-hmm. And I like it when he goes Dua Lipa with DaBaby. But I never knew anything about him. And man, did he fucked up. He stepped in it. And he didn't even apologize, really, until someone got to him and said, bro, you're losing all your shows.
That's a half-assed apology. Let's be real. He was like, I needed education, and nobody was there for me, bruh.
Education?
It's 2021,
you can
dog.
You use education as a tool to not reoffend, but you cannot use education as an excuse to have originally offended somebody. Like, and it's ridiculous. Like,
you can't believe what he said, Donald. I'm not even, listen, we don't censor ourselves on the podcast. I'm not even going to repeat what this fucking dude said at his concert. Yeah. You got to read
now, what,
it, and it's
what,
so
what,
fucked
what,
up.
What,
it's so fucked
was
up.
Was this just out of nowhere? Was this just like a non
at his concert,
moment? It was like, really?
He just started saying the most homophobic, insane shit at his concert, and I don't know what kind of education he needs to learn that that's horrible to say. And then did you see his first attempt at an apology, Joel? It wasn't an apology. It was like, it made it worse.
What did he say?
Just so disappointing.
Basically, he was saying, like, gay people love my show. They know, I'm trying to say it without saying the shit he said, but he was like, they don't.
Basically said they're clean and they don't have.
Yeah, basically he was
any
saying.
Any STDs.
Basically, he was saying all this horrible stuff about gay people and AIDS. And then in his apology, uh-huh. he was like, my gay fans know what I'm talking about. They don't have AIDS. They're clean. They're not. Like that.
What?
Yeah, that is
quadruple.
By the way, I'm making it even better for him. Like, you gotta I don't really want to talk about on the show because I don't want the words to come out of my mouth, but read what this fucking dude said.
Wow.
Dua Lipa with DaBaby. I can't listen to that song anymore.
Really? But you can listen.
Yeah.
Okay. That's done.
I'm gonna listen to the original Dua Lipa. Don't worry. I know you're an avid listener, Dua Lipa. Right. I'm gonna listen to the one before the remix.
Keep her on board.
Yeah, I like Dua Lipa.
Yeah, man. For real.
Should we get into the show, baby?
We should totally get into the show. I do miss you.
No, you don't. I don't feel it.
I don't feel it either from you, okay?
I've been lifting. I've been staying big for you. I found a gym.
Where are you going?
I'm not trying to tell you.
We'll edit it out, Dick.
I'll tell you off the air, twat ears.
We'll edit it out. twice. Well, now you're taking my shit. My shit was so good that it's no longer mine.
I got people on my Instagram calling me T-Ears, and I don't know how I feel about it.
No. Oh, no. Don't do that, guys.
By the way, T-Ears is really tears, and that's what I feel inside when you call me T-Ears.
All right, let's get into it.
Joelle, did you hear our Time 100 thing Donald and I did?
I saw that you did it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Joelle,
sorry, my mommy's in town.
Joelle,
my mommy's in
I haven't
town.
Listened to it. Don't worry about it.
I just can't believe, like, you know, I just can't believe that people close to us don't even listen to our shit, Donald.
I didn't listen to it.
The woman who brought me into this world is demanding my attention for a full
week.
Well,
she slid into my DMs, that woman, so you tell her.
She sure did. She sure did. I confirmed it with her. She was like, yes, it was me. Did I do something wrong?
I turned off my DMs, by the way. I don't want to hear from anybody ever again.
Why?
That seems reasonable.
Because stupidly, I was bored, you know, occasionally. And reading DMs from strangers, which are 99% wonderful. And those of you who used to DM me, I love you and thank you. But occasionally you'd read a troll and it was like putting me in the worst mood. And I was like, why the fuck am I reading this? Like, why am I reading this? And I have to, it's like a cognitive behavioral thing. I have to like remove the thing. Yeah. Like, otherwise, I will still do it. I'll be sitting there pooping, going, I'll check stranger DMs and then I'll read. I have to remove the thing.
Right.
So I just turned off the ability for people I don't follow to DM me. I'm sorry. Some of you were delightful, but we'll just be imaginary friends.
That's how I gain weight, dude, man. It's like I'll buy a bunch of junk food and I'll look at it and I'll be like, the only way this works is if I remove this from the house and then I'll eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I eat
exactly.
it. And it's like, now that it's gone, I'm good. And then I'll go out and get it again.
That's a cognitive behavioral technique. You remove the thing that's causing you harm. I never have sugar in the house. I just can't. I'm a crack addict with it. Although it's funny, it's harder being in New York as opposed to being in LA.
It's everywhere.
Whatever delivery app you use, Postmates, Uber, it's here in 2 seconds. So like you can be like stoned here. Like I want Ben and Jerry's. The other night I was like, I needed Ben and Jerry's, right? So I go on the app. And I'm like, 3 pints of Ben and Jerry's, right? Guy rings my bell. I go, okay, you can just leave it in the elevator. Thank you so much. I buzz him in. Elevator comes up. There's just 3 stacked pints of Ben and Jerry's in the elevator.
That's just like Benson, dude. That shit is like Benson. And you just, oh my God. That shit is just like Benson, but it's like,
but you don't even, no contact Benson.
Like, that's what it feels like. Put it in the elevator, and then the elevator. It's like when you're sick in bed and you ring the bell.
Yes.
And they slide it under the door, so there's no.
Yes. Dude. But, dude, it's here in seconds because everything's
right around.
It's New York City.
Right.
So it's like my ice cream took the elevator up alone. All right, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm.
This shit was hilarious,
by the way.
Season five really is the funniest season,
yeah,
I think, so far, right?
I think I have to say
that season five, I know we talked about it being slightly wackier. I think it's the funniest season so far.
So far, yeah. So far, it doesn't have the most heart, though, so far. Even with Judy and the baby and everything like that. So far, season five doesn't have the moments like seasons 1 through 4 have had where...
Dude,
you're gonna cry.
Sorry, I think there's some, and we'll get there. And by the way, I'm just judging by how many notes I take, Donald. Mm. Like I take notes obviously when I laugh or when I think something's an interesting conversation for the fans that are listening and for us. And I just find in season five, I'm taking like 5 pages of notes. We won't even get to all this
stuff. We're not going to.
Because I'm going, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's so funny. Oh my God, that was great. What the hell? You know, and I'm just I can only judge by the anecdotal evidence of how many notes I take that I'm personally finding this season to be so fucking funny.
Right, I'm laughing out loud. Pretty much every few seconds, I'd say every 30, 40 seconds, I'm laughing. There's a laugh, there's a chuckle, there's a laugh, or I do Julie's favorite line, that's so funny. That's actually pretty funny.
By the way, you know, people have pointed out that we say that's so funny, or at least I do definitely, on this podcast all the time, and... I think you do too.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's definitely a comedy writer thing because they're around humor so much that often they're sitting in the room and they're digesting someone's joke pitch and they'll be like, "That's very funny. That's very right. funny." But they're not necessarily laughing because they're kind of just
analyzing it. That's why.
Right. I wonder if that came. You're doing your own writer's room now, so you know. But I wonder if that came from Bill in the writer's room. Of people being like, digesting someone's funny pitch and being like, "Yeah, that's very funny. That's very right. funny." And then, well, why the fuck aren't you laughing? Because I'm thinking right. about it. I'm digesting it. But I do that all the time on here. Like, I may have laughed when I watched it on the show, but then you remind me of the joke, and I'm like, "Yes, that's very funny. That's funny." But it's funny. People have pointed out to me, like, "You know, you say that's so funny all the time on the podcast, and that's the thing your character hates right. about Julie." Anyway, Mandy's great. I have to say, she did such a great job in this.
I think, you know, I'm going to say,
I wish we had had her on now. I'm sure she would have come on because you know we're friendly, and I could have asked her, and I didn't. But maybe we'll have her on another time. But
special episode.
She really. You can't say she's not a good comedian.
No,
she was
hilarious. Very funny. She was very funny. She did. The pratfall with the fucking popcorn. I'll make more.
I just love the character of like a beautiful klutz.
Right.
That's just so silly.
Her falling off the deck. Let's get into the show, dude. Let's get into the show because we're going to talk about
the deck.
Who built the deck, dude? Bought a half acre with a girl. Let's build just for the audience.
A girl I barely know. Right. Like, it's brand new. It's one thing to be like, "Oh my God, let's get, you know, I don't know, let's buy something small together."
Right.
Like, that's a big enough step. This isn't even cohabitation yet. Right. But this is like, "Oh, let's buy a plot of land together," which is really weird.
Very weird. And then let's just build a deck on it.
Well, all we can afford, I assume, was the deck.
Who built the deck, dude?
Well, I hired a contractor, I'm sure. I don't know that anyone in the history of the world has ever said, "Hey, I can't afford the house yet, so let's just build a front porch."
Already, the show starts off already, and you're like, "All right, this is out there already." And then,
can you imagine there's a plot of land next to your house, and it's empty, and somebody comes and builds a deck?
What the fuck are you doing, dude? Right. Just, we talk about it in the show. The neighbors automatically, the next door neighbors fucking hate you, but you play poker with them. They invited you to poker, yes. but they hate you.
Yes.
They hate you.
And then on one side, they offer to sell me their baby. What neighborhood is
Where
this?
Where do
like,
you
what
live?
Neighbor- right? on one side, they're like super yuppies, right? And on the other side, they're like trying to sell me their baby.
Right. It's Van Nuys. Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Does that sound like Van Nuys? It was
exactly
definitely
like Van Nuys.
It was probably Valley Village where we shot it, I imagine.
And then...
Van Nuys is probably more accurate. And then Mandy does a very, as you said, Donald, a very funny backwards fall off the deck that there's no way she did, because that's a definitely dangerous stunt that a stunt woman did.
Sure.
Because that's how you break a spine if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Absolutely.
Because that woman, whoever she is, I mean, obviously she hit a mat, but she went backwards in a chair off a deck, which is totally dangerous.
Yes. Yes.
All so you could laugh, people that are listening.
Well, the tag was great also. I ate glass.
Oh, did she say? Or like, "There's glass in my eye or something like that.
Anyway.
By the way, JD doesn't even get up to help her. What the fuck?
He just sits there.
Can you imagine your lover falls off backwards off a deck and you don't get up? He just sits there. Like,
that's a nightmare.
Just waiting for the good. I can't.
That's a nightmare of mine. But that's not even when the opening starts.
Oh, it's not?
No, there's so much more. So Carla...
I know this cold open.
It's long.
It's so long.
Carla really wants a baby, right?
Yes.
And somehow she upsets the janitor.
Yes. Now, everyone cringes when they hear the period. All the men cringe when they hear... And it's true. I must admit, it's so immature, but I think whenever a period does come up, I sort of cringe a little bit, and I don't want to know too many specifics. In fact, when Casey was filling us in on how the whole tampon thing works, I don't even know. I really don't. I don't even know a lot of that, like the disposal, the removal. I don't really know too much. I'm a fake doctor, and my knowledge around the menses cycle is limited, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's how I tune out when that shit happens. That's how,
yes.
When if ever Casey doesn't want me to jump on top of her and wants a sex break, all she has to say is, I got my period. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should last.
She's probably lying.
Sometimes that should last 3 weeks, guys.
Like, she's probably lying. Casey's had her period for 7 years. So the janitor wants to develop a baby with gills,
yes,
that he can go treasure hunting,
yes,
with.
Yes, in the near future. Yes.
And then Judy, Carla upsets him, and he says, I swear on my unborn fish baby's life.
Yes.
She will pay.
Yes. Yeah.
I forgot. What did the janitor do to piss off Judy, Carla?
He was talking about how he wants to have kids and made her... No, am I wrong, Joelle?
Yeah, it's the hot nurse.
No, later on, he does that to get back at her. That's how he makes her... That's how he makes her pay.
Oh, yeah. His revenge is that he says, you look like young Carla.
But I think him making her wanting to get pregnant so trivial... that upsets her.
I forgot what, you know, usually we watch this. I watch this right before we go live, but this week, our schedule changed a little bit. So I'm a smidgen rusty of all the things.
Yeah, we watched this last week. That's why I don't remember. Yeah.
Scott Rabideau, my stand-in, has a line. We always love that. He's the one who says, yo, glass man. Now, what is glass man? Is that a thing in basketball?
So when you rebound off the backboard in the NBA, it's made of glass. Yeah. If it's in a gym, usually the gym backboard is made of it's glass. Like,
okay.
So
that's a real term, glass man.
I mean, yeah, sure. It's a great nickname for somebody who is like, you could call somebody Windex in the NBA, and that's a good nickname because they clean the glass. You know, they clean the boards off the glass. You know?
So that's a regular thing that good rebounders have, nicknames related to glass.
Yeah, so like Mutombo was Mount Mutombo because he could block the shot. You know what I mean?
That's not related to glass.
No.
What was Dennis Rodman? So was it glass related?
No, he was the worm because he was slippery and could get to the he could get a rebound easily. Like, okay. Glass man is like. It's just it's not a bunch of, like, you don't use it for everything. I just use that as another version of what glass is, what glass means.
You know who used to often break the backboards before they made them unbreakable? A young man named Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah, he had a bunch of nicknames. What were those nicknames? Do you know?
The Chocolate Thunder.
Yeah, baby.
And Glassbreaker.
You know, Dr. Dunkenstein, I think, was one of them. Dude, he passed away.
Now, I don't know whoever decided. He did.
God rest his soul.
I don't know.
Daryl Dawkins.
I don't know whoever decided in the NBA to stop having the backboards be breakable. But when I was a child, that was very. I used to go to Nets games because that was my father loved it. I had zero interest. I was just like the snacks and Duncan, the mascot. I'd always be looking for Duncan. And my father would scream, and it would be embarrassing, and that was the experience. And I'd get ice cream. But I do remember how fun it was when Daryl Dawkins would break shit.
Yeah. He did it a couple of times. Shaq did it a couple of times, too. There are a few players that did it. Michael Jordan's done it, but not in the NBA, but like at a charity game. Anyway, so let's get back into the show.
Let's talk about Mickhead.
No, wait.
Okay.
Turk wants to eat ribs while having sex.
Yes. That sounds like you. You might like
that. No, I don't want to eat ribs. That's too messy. That's too much.
But you love ribs and you love sex. It feels like two things combined.
I do love both of those things.
It's like, remember those old school Reese's peanut butter commercials? Like, you got your peanut butter and my chocolate. You've got your chocolate and my peanut butter. Do you remember those commercials?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who would
love it? Yeah, it's like you. You love ribs and you love sex with your wife.
Yeah.
It seems like perfect for you.
I do. It does. Okay, Mickhead kills his wife, though.
Okay, now a lot comes out of Mickhead's character gets a giant jump forward in this episode. We learn that his wife was killed.
Yes.
And he's a person of interest,
yes.
but he's also got a sexy nurse on his lap, so he's not really mourning.
No, and she died like a week ago.
No, yeah. And then later, he does get dragged away by the cops.
But, well, there's also him trying to convince Julie to hide the hammer for him.
Yes, poor innocent Mandy Moore is taking the hammer and being like, sure, I guess I can hide this for you. So he did it. I mean... I remember it being a bit nebulous if Mickhead was the killer or not, but this is pretty clear that he did it. I mean, why is he asking Mandy Moore to hide his hammer?
I think he totally did it. I think he totally did it, but it doesn't stick, I guess. Maybe he gets off us.
Yeah, because he's back. Yeah. He gets off somehow. Yeah. Maybe there's I know why, because Mandy Moore's fingerprints are all over the hammer.
Right. Well, didn't you wipe it down though? Didn't you wipe the hammer down with your sleeves?
Yes, I did with my scrub top.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back after these quick words. We'll be right back. No, don't panic. Don't come, hey, you. We'll be right back. And we're back.
And we're back.
So the gynecologist is so hot.
He's so handsome. And
he's, by the way, he's a very handsome man.
Right.
And I have to say that sometimes, of course, as we all know, people that are this beautiful aren't always the best actors. I thought this guy did a very fine job for being a character whose sole purpose is, oh my goodness, you're so handsome.
Absolutely. And he comes back. He's on the show. He comes back on the show a couple of times.
Okay, well, it's a very funny runner. Jordan is obsessed with getting pap smears. She says she has a lot of pap.
Yeah.
Because she, I don't think, as I understand it, a pap smear is not a comfortable thing.
But she's
right,
gone quite a few times.
It is not. 11 yeah. times yeah. in a yeah. month. I was like, Jordan,
but
chill.
But Elliot's really gone quite a few times also.
Oh, my God. Is Sarah Chalk, by the way, I texted her after I watched this because we were texting about something else. And I said, by the way, I hope you're not getting tired of me saying this, but this fucking episode, you are so funny.
Yeah, her and Judy were great in this episode.
Of course. We should mention that it's Judy's episode. We tried to get her, I don't know, to come on. What happened, Joelle? She ignored us? Judy does not even...
This happened last time, too, where I think maybe, like, I emailed her and she's like, oh, I just didn't see it. So hopefully that's the same case.
Oh, well, we got to have Judy on. We got to get Judy on this season. Anyway, this is the episode that Judy, because Judy's always so great on this podcast. We want to have her back. But anyway, this is the episode. It's called Her Story 2. It's the time that Judy does the narration. What are you laughing at?
Because of what you just did.
I swear I'm not. I'm just, I happen to be in a good mood. Are you annoyed by my serotonin?
No, I'm not annoyed at all. I'm very happy to see this.
Zach, okay, I love enough. You.
All right.
All right, so look. So
it doesn't last long. If you want to do this in an hour, I'm sure I'll be
I can't. I got to go back to the. I got to go back to my writer's room. Okay.
I was kidding. It was a joke.
Okay, so listen.
Zach, I love you.
Carla turns into Storm. That shit was hilarious. When the janitor says, you know who that is? We should go back. So the guy's handsome. The girl's really handsome, too. She did a great job.
Nurse Martinez.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when the janitor says, you know who she reminds me of? That reminds me of a young Carla. And then Judy turns around and Carla turns into Storm.
Yes.
That shit was fire.
And you now wait, who's Storm? I mean, I knew it was a Marvel thing, right? Or a DC.
Okay,
thing.
Of the X-Men, she is the black female, like, head of the X-Men. Sometimes she's the leader, but oftentimes she's sort of just like a main dude's right-hand lady. But she's
totally dope. She's awesome. She's also a queen from
who
Africa.
Plays her in the
Halle Berry plays her, and I don't know who the young I don't know who the young lady is that plays her now, but Halle Berry played her originally. Anyway,
okay,
but
I've never
look,
seen one
dude,
of
dude. Oh man, they're
I've never seen an X-Men movie. Don't yell.
They're
at me.
They're not the best. The Logan is really good, and Days of the first X-Men, what is it, First Class? That one's fire. X-Men First Class.
But you heard Michaela Cole might be playing her in the new Black Panther,
right? Because that's what I was about to say, because she connects to Black Panther.
She's an incredible
actress. Yeah, the two
actress.
Of them are, dude.
So great.
Dude, yeah.
She is incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy
that's the role.
I hope she gets her big Marvel or whatever it is payday, because she's a fucking extraordinary talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Judy
dude,
did
she
it.
She shattered. By the way, the effects of this were really well done. You know, Scrubs, we weren't a big VFX show.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we did them, they looked meh, like that butterfly. But this was really well done. You shattering looked great.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember shooting this episode. I remember at the end when Mandy runs, is over in the corner crying. I remember my point of view from it. I don't remember ever watching this episode, but I remember shooting it. And to see the opposite side, I remember us standing there and making jokes while the two girls ran over. And I remember that the camera was over there. And to see all of that was crazy. You know why I remember it, too, because of, you know, one of my most favorite action stars ever in any movie. I talk about, you know, Billy Dee Williams more than I should. You know what I mean? Like,
no, you don't. In all seriousness, it was very significant for you. You said when in the Star Wars universe there was this African American hero, right? And it really like it puts you. You well, felt Afri-
well, there was a black guy in Star Wars is more like it. The fact that he just spoke, you know, Billy Dee's African American, that was dope too. But just to finally see a black face in Star Wars was amazing. And also, right. not just that, not just that, he was also freaking like one of the dopest pilots in the universe. And then when Harrison Ford's character is removed, they use him as that character to show you that it could work, you know? Right. And that was really dope, you know? Like a lot of people, we don't talk about that enough, to be honest with you. They remove the Han Solo character and in place is Lando Calrissian. And you learn to love this character. By the end of the movie, you're like, dude, I love this dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. And that's really important. And it was a black guy. And they don't really talk about that enough. And George isn't given enough credit for that also. Because when Glenn Turman was on the show, he told us that story of how he was up for Han Solo. And the reason why it didn't work was because, you know, there's going to be a white Princess Leia. And America's not ready, or the world's not ready, I should say, for that. Mm. And he really, you know, showed, yo, you could be ready for it if you really just not close your eyes, but if you really just fell in love. I don't know how to put this, man. If you really just, he put it in the movie and it made the movie 20 times better. Also, like, just look at the things that Billy Dee Williams does in this show, where he get his reaction to me going Lando Calrissian. If you watch The Empire Strikes Back, he has so much expression in the movie and gives so much freaking, his performance is masterful. You know what I mean? It's one of my favorite movies ever, obviously, you can tell. But to have him on the show and to have that performance and to know that, you know, this could work, you could have a black action hero, somebody who does all of the things that the white guy does, you know, to have that in that movie and then to have him on the show was just like beyond incredible. So my reaction is sincere. That's not me acting. Yeah. That's me fucking,
no, we know.
For real, screaming at the fact that I'm in a scene with Billy Dee Williams, a.k.a. Lando
Calrissian.
Now,
if I was directing this episode, I would have made sure to hide him from you. Did they hide
no,
him
no,
from
no,
you,
he
or
was,
did you see him?
He was in our face. He was in my face the whole time. You know what I mean?
I was just seeing that Quentin Tarantino hid, what's his name, that amazing German actor who played the Nazi in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, crap. This is annoying.
He's German, or
you look it up?
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz.
Hans Landa.
Yes, isn't he German? Am I right?
Yes.
Anyway, he's an extraordinary actor, and I was read on the interwebs recently that Tarantino didn't include him in rehearsals because he didn't want anyone getting to know him. He wanted him to come on set in his fucking Nazi uniform and scare the shit out of everybody. And I just thought that was really cool. Wow. Austrian-German, yes. Mm-hmm. Billy Dee. So there he is. It's a seminal moment for you. I just wanted to finish what you said by saying what a beautiful paragraph for the case for inclusion of all different types of people in the superhero world, because little boys like you grow up going, I see myself. I mean, it's the ultimate articulation of that. You seeing Billy Dee in a movie and having it make you want to become an actor and making you feel like you could achieve your goals, that's really fucking awesome.
Yeah, the only thing that for a while I was pissed off that he was a two-bit hustler. But hey, man, that's cool. Sure. I remember being so mad and so caught up in the fact that he was a two-bit hustler. But when you think about it, so was Han Solo. You know what I mean? It's like there was the same character. But because Billy Dee was that, you know, it's the same story arc. But Billy Dee even comes in, you know, Lando even comes in as a noble man. You know, he's the leader of this big-ass city. You know, we're getting so off topic. But
I know. I don't care. Listen, that's our specialty. Listen, let's get back to it and say There's so much going on in this episode. There's the sex gong. I mean, think of things in this episode. There's like 10 things that people love about Scrubs that we get referenced. There's including Lando and the deck. There's the sex gong.
Yeah, buddy.
And now you have extraordinary hearing. Oh, that's by the way, this dog. Was so funny. That's by the way, dog. By the way, this was so funny when Mandy Moore, who's, you know, up to this point was known as sort of an innocent actress and an innocent singer, that we had her banging on the fucking wall to fake like she's having sex. And she goes, shut up and take it, you stupid bitch. That was hilarious. I remember even thinking at the time as her boyfriend, I remember thinking like, yes, Mandy, go for it. That was awesome. That was hilarious. And now you have incredible hearing. Yeah, wait, okay, don't get to Tay yet. You have incredible hearing. I ring the sex gong and you go, yeah, bud.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
And it's
dog.
Back at our old apartment.
Then
Carla has the voiceover, obviously, as we said, and then she disses you somehow. And I go, don't listen to her, Brown Bear. Your body's fierce, like Tay Diggs.
Like Tay Diggs.
And that became, I don't know if I improv'd that or not, but that became.
That was totally improv'd, dude.
That became a running thing of me to this day. When you look good, saying you look like Tay
Diggs,
Tay.
Baby. Sometimes I told Tay Diggs about this shit. He laughs about it. He thinks it's funny.
Of course. Why would Tay Diggs not love the fact that we're using him as an icon of a handsome man?
He is handsome. Still.
He's not Donald Faison. Yes. No offense, Tay. Yeah.
Dude,
he's not Donald
come on,
Faison.
Buddy.
Joel just let out.
Come on, buddy.
Joel just let out. Oh, yes.
I'm going to keep it 100. Listen, I'm going to keep it 100. Okay. I think I'm a handsome man. Like, look, come on. I still got a baby face, right?
Yeah.
But.
So beautiful.
That is one handsome dude. Him.
Yeah.
Idris Elba. Them two is handsome. That's like handsome, handsome.
Yes.
But it's all if you like really hot men. I like my men a strong 8 with a dad bod. You, baby.
Yes.
You.
Thank you. I love you so much, man.
I don't want Idris Elba. I don't want to ride Idris Elba and Yell Eagle. I want to ride you.
Oh, you make me blush.
Although if Idris Elba was like, get on, you're riding me. I'd be
all right, let's go. Here we go.
Just once real quick. All right, so, okay, so then Tay Diggs. Okay, now I apparently was, JD was called Joanna until he was 3.
Yes.
We learn?
Yes.
And we also learn that Jordan says something very outrageous, that they're at the bar, and she says, one of those boys could be the baby I gave up in high school.
Yes.
Which is one of those Scrubs one-liners that might just zip by you and you don't really do the math and figure it out. But she's saying that she can't flirt with one of those boys because there's a chance he's one of the that it's the son.
That's
she
why
gave
she
up
doesn't go.
School.
There's a certain age that she doesn't go below.
Because she doesn't know whatever happened to that child that she gave up in high school, and she doesn't want to ask. That is so dark. But the hardest I laughed the whole fucking episode when Sarah, somehow reveals.
Yeah,
she reveals that she's a little bit bisexual.
No, when she
gets
drunk,
do you like jazz?
Only when she gets drunk. Only when she gets drunk. When she gets drunk, she loves to be a lesbian.
Oh, my God. Dear listener, if you want to know what makes me laugh, go watch this episode and watch Sarah drunk in the bar, leaning on the bar, going, so, Carol, do you like jazz?
Yeah, I do. Oh, really? How much do you like jazz?
Yes. I videotaped that shit. I videotaped it off my laptop and sent it to Bill and was like, he goes, why are you sending this? I go, because how fucking funny is it? Sarah playing someone who gets by when they're drunk, hitting on a woman named Carol, asking her if she likes jazz. And Sarah's face, she's like, so, Carol, do you like jazz? And then the woman nods and she goes, you do?
How much?
How much?
Like-
For some reason, oh, that's the funniest fucking shit in the whole episode to me.
I snorted just now. That's how funny that shit was.
I'm crying. I literally went back and videotaped it on the screen to show Bill. Okay, so let's go, we have an interview.
Hold up. Before we get to the intervention, we got to get to this meme I've seen, or I've seen the scene either on YouTube, but somehow it popped up on
The Hangovers.
The Hangovers.
Yeah, that's, I think of it all the time.
That made me laugh very. That still makes me laugh so hard. Like,
it's the perfect articulation of. And if you're 25 listening to this, you'd think we're joking. But that display of going around a table showing people at four different ages and how a hangover hurts the next day. Like, Mandy's the young one, and she's like, hi, morning. And then Sarah, who's next?
Yeah, Sarah's next. She's like, please.
Sarah's hurts a little
bit.
She's
like, please stop talking. And then Judy's barely able to keep it together.
Yeah, and then Jordan's like asleep with glasses on.
She's passed out, yeah. She's not even, like, she's like comatose. With glasses on. And he shakes her. Jordan Rooney. Jordalicious.
A hangover is no joke anymore, Donald. We're in our 40s. No, it's like it's like a 2-day, it's like a 2-day experience if you go big.
I get nervous when I don't get a hangover now. How about that?
What do you mean?
Like, if I drink and I don't get a hangover, I'm like, did I drink last night? You know what I mean?
You can't remember?
No, like, if I don't get a, like, sometimes I drink, and I drink water, you know, also when I drink, and so I won't have a hangover the next day. And that's always a refreshing thing, but I'm always worried, like, wait a second, but did I drink last night? Because
also, remember Casey once gave us these, like, it was such an old person thing. Casey's like, here, y'all, put this patch on. And the patch was like
vitamins and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm sure some of you listening have seen this before, but it's like, if you know you're going to go have a big party night, you put this patch on your skin, and it's like giving you whatever nutrients so you don't get hungover.
Right.
I don't even know if it's psychosomatic or it really works, but I remember it was like such an old moment. We're all going out one night, like you know, maybe before the pandemic, and Casey's like, all right, we know we're going to have a big night, and she's passing out patches for us to put on our skin.
That should work, though, man. I just had a
I don't know if it worked. No, it was just
I had a nasty taste in my mouth, though. That was the only thing. Like, I had like a vitamin taste in my mouth after, like, the next day.
Do you really think that does anything? I guess. I don't know.
I mean, if an IV does, why can't this?
Because IV is what you need, which is hydration. I don't know if the patch is hydration.
I mean, they've got all of these powders now that are out that you can hydrate yourself with. I don't know.
They got
dude.
This thing in LA, you know, you can come hire a guy in New York, too. I'm sure it's all over.
Yeah,
the
I saw
world,
that Amanda
Clark. Hire a guy to come give you an IV.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about doing that because there's no
dude. That's a baller move.
But listen, here's the thing though.
That's a baller
move.
You're hurting and you call the IV guy.
Yeah, but that's from drinking. That's from drinking. I'm talking about, like, look, dude, you can drink a lot of water and still be dehydrated. You know what I mean? There's more to it. And so an IV is actually hydrating your system completely, like, to the utmost, where you can't, like, there are people that drink gallons and gallons and gallons of water. Right, and piss it all out, and so you know what I mean.
Right, this is right into your bloodstream.
Right.
Water. I've never done that, by the way.
It's
I know
wonderful.
It's a thing.
It's awesome.
No, you've done that. Been hungover and got an IV.
No, I've gotten an IV after working out, though.
You know that? I think we've mentioned this on the show, but there was an old wives' tale that doctors listening or nurses listening, you might know if it's true or not. But that when doctors were so hungover. That they would start an IV line on themselves, put the baggie under their armpit, right? And then put the jacket on and walk around and be just slowly squeezing it as they walked around.
I hope this story is true because I told a lot of people it was.
We've heard that. We heard that. We did hear that. I think JD said that was a real thing, the real JD. But I don't know. Maybe in 2021, that's frowned upon more than back in the day. But
no, man.
You know it works.
They labeled the thing as for the perfect hangover. Like, nobody's going out right now, but I guess people are drinking. And if you want to, I guess people are going out. Did you see that freaking concert? And where was that?
People are out.
Lollapalooza. Yeah. Did you see that shit? Holy cow.
Lollapadelta.
Lollapadelta.
I ain't trying to get no Lollapadelta.
Yo.
People are out in New York, but it's all in the streets. Every restaurant has a little hut built in front of it where you can go, you know, drink and eat, and so it's outside. I mean, some people you can choose to eat inside, but I'm not doing that.
I'm not eating inside. I imagine it's a lot tougher in New York too, because that is a city where you eat out pretty much every night for the most
right.
Part.
But I'm saying you're not inside. Like you can have your meal. You know, now every single restaurant has outdoor seating because they've been able, they're allowed to take over parking spots in front of the restaurant. So they've built a deck, you know, with walls. So everybody's got outdoor seating now.
Yeah. Can I just say, okay, let's get back to the show. Yeah. Can I just say one thing? And I know it's cutting to the end, but the Dr. Dad plot thickens. Did you catch this?
The Dr. Dad musical is hilarious.
Did you catch how the plot thickens though?
Yeah, because Kelso's son has written a musical about his father called Dr. Dad.
That's successful. It's clear now that it's successful.
It's really doing well. I don't know where it is. It's like in Provincetown.
Right,
something
like that. Yes, it's doing very, very well. But
and yes, go ahead. You can reveal.
Kelso's son is now dating the man, the gentleman. Playing his dad.
Dr. Dad. Yes.
The character.
The lines have been blurred.
No, no.
We need someone to one day write an essay that tracks every single thing that's happened to Kelso's son, because it just gets more and more crazy. But yes, Kelso's son is sleeping with the star of his musical, Dr. Dad, the man playing Dr. Dad. Okay. All right. Now we reveal. We have an intervention, right?
Right. There's an intervention.
Because I'm a commitophobe. First of all, it's such bullshit that JD would not want to commit to Julie. She's amazing. She's perfect for him. I had a lot of trouble with this plot point just because she says that's so funny. I know that then there's an intervention and his friends are like, you're just making up a bullshit reason because you're a commitophobe. And then he finally says it, says all the right things, says, no, you are awesome and you're amazing and you're beautiful and you're funny and you're a dream girl. And she's like, whoa, whoa, calm down. I don't even know if I want commitment and babies and marriage.
Right.
And he's like, what now? What now?
Yeah. I think Uncle Buck was a great choice to try and get that so funny. That's one of the funniest movies in my lifetime.
I've never seen Uncle Buck. I'm sorry.
It might be dated now, but that's one of the... You've never
seen. Wow, you should have
fucking...
seen Joelle. Joelle looked at me as though I said
I'm hurt by this.
Hurt an animal.
Uncle Buck is a
I'm
hurt classic.
By this, actually, man.
Like, never seen Uncle Buck. Do I need to watch it? It'll hold up?
I don't know if it holds up. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but that is. Woo! It's Macaulay Culkin's
That's
in
what
it.
We choose. That's what we
John
choose.
John Candy plays Uncle Buck. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. It's a John Hughes movie. Like, what the fuck, dude? You've never seen Uncle Buck?
I've never seen it.
I think it holds up. It has been a minute. It's like I can't 100% guarantee, but
the kid,
I'm
the
sure
dude who played the boy who could fly is the bad guy in it. You ever see The Boy Who Could Fly, Zach?
No, never saw The Boy
Who Could Fly. You guys never seen The Boy Who Could Fly?
Oh my goodness. We don't have Dan here. What? On your mic. Sorry about if you're breastfeeding. Hold on, let's
you
get the baby
seen
back.
The boy who
you
could,
got this.
Listen, this shit ain't
Donald,
even,
I'm
this shit ain't
Donald, even, I have to get the babies back
oh
on their nipples.
Oh my god.
You got this.
You know who the star of The Boy Who Could Fly is? Yo, it's freaking, oh my gosh. It's the dude from The Boy Who Could Fly and from The Facts of Life, the one who played Natalie. She's one of the stars in this movie. You never
oh,
seen.
Oh, really? I never.
You never seen The never, Boy Who Could Fly?
Wait, her name is on the tip of my tongue. What is it?
Mindy
yes,
Cohn.
Mindy Cohn.
Mindy Cohn is also one of the stars. You've never seen The Boy Who Could Fly.
Calm down. I'm going to write it down.
Is
right
Jay
now.
Savage is in it?
Who...
Fred Savage?
Whoa. Okay, I'm in.
Come on.
How about the flashback to your girlfriend, Whitney the Snapper? And she's like, ah, la, mo.
Leave now.
Yeah, but that's such bullshit. She was a beautiful young
if
woman.
If anybody
you
snaps.
You kicking her out because she was
right,
a snapper.
You snap. We could still do it.
And only in a TV show is like, JD breaking up with Mandy Moore because she says that's so funny. But actually, the real reason at the end is more believable, that she'd be like, oh, I don't want anything you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it
no,
up
because
I don't know that I want marriage
like,
and kids.
And JD's already thinking about it. and she's not at all.
I know, but again, it was a little like, so, dude, it's so early. You bought a deck together. Like, calm down. This is when my producer head goes, oh, clearly Mandy could only do two episodes.
No, it goes back to the first it goes back to the first one. It's a two-parter. Elliot warned you that this is going to happen. You go in too deep, too fast.
I know, but I tried, bro. I tried to commit to this one.
Yeah, and she said you went too fast. You did go too fast. At the end, ultimately at the end, you've gone too fast.
Yeah, you did go too fast. Yeah. He's sort of a dick to her at the end.
I mean,
he says that joke that's so mean.
He's a dick to her the whole time. Kind of.
What does he say?
She fell off the deck and he doesn't even go to help her. He was a dick the whole time.
No, there's like a, there's something like, I go, but she's not saying that's so funny now or something like that. By the way, who says this? Ask him if he remembers me from my pelvic exam about the hot gynecologist.
That shit. I think that was Sarah. Says that shit. She goes, tell him if he remembers me from my pelvic exam as Judy's walking in, and she yells it again. Tell him.
Yeah. And then what is the context when she says, I like to keep a clean shop.
Right. That's right. So she's they're having a conversation about she goes, so let me tell you about my first exam. He's down there and I'm like, and he says this, and then I look at him and I say, well, I like to keep a clean shop. And then he looks at me and says, right. It was her describing.
That shit was so funny. Yeah. Sarah, there's something about the way Sarah's vocal intonation is in this episode that's just being extra funny. I can't do it, but she's like, well, I do like to keep a clean shop.
Right. Dude, she's amazing.
She's so funny. Chris, what about Krista showing up in
the schoolgirl outfit?
Yeah, with pigtails. Yes. Call me JJ.
That shit was... I really got to tell you, man, I feel like Judy did an excellent job as the storyteller this episode. You know, and I think Bill thought this could work, and it didn't, but because it was taken, once it's taken out of the main characters, maybe the audience didn't buy it, but it seems like when watching the show, if you're a part of this group and you do the voiceover, it works. You know what I mean? All of us, it worked. You know what I mean? It really did.
It's a great conceit.
Yeah. But when we went into season 9, for some reason, people had a hard time.
Well, it's a big ask. Right. I mean, I think if you designed season 9 again, you might give it. I understand the reasoning.
Right.
It's the story of a young kid coming into the world. That's what people responded to.
Right.
But I think, you know, there might be some thought to like having it be you
or
having
it be Sarah. Right.
Yeah. Why, or Johnny
or Judy,
even, you know,
like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, of course. Anybody or Neil,
right.
Although Neil was gone.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I think that's where
it put too much on Carrie Bichet's shoulders.
Wait.
She's a wonderful actress and very, very talented.
But there was just so much history with all of us.
Right. And you were asking the audience to embrace a new character that they didn't just spend 8 years with. And they're like, no, fuck this. Which I understand with this much hindsight.
Yeah. 2020.
The show ends with the legendary Carrie Brothers song Ride, which is a really, really good song. Which we'll end the show with today.
I also want to say the way the show also ends is metaphorically is great too. JD is having this dilemma and all of these people rush to his aid to help him with this girl. Mm. Carla really has the big dilemma. You know what I mean? She's the one that's really going through it. JD's going through something that he didn't want to be with the girl anyway. And they wound up breaking up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Carla's really going through it. There's a possibility that because of her age, she might not be able to have kids. And when JD's talking and he's telling everybody about what happened with Julie, and Carla's not paying attention, and she goes up to him and goes, "You're doing, don't let this one get away," whatever she says, "this one's a keeper," and runs off. It really does put in perspective you know, this dude's going through so much, but it's really trivial compared to what she's going through in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, but it's all relative. I mean, you really can't compare.
It's apples to oranges, no doubt, but.
No, but I'm saying, like, I hear what you're saying, but it's unfair to compare anyone's, whatever the tragedy in someone's life is, to somebody else's. You know, it's, I have these moments where I'm, you know, whining to Amanda Klutz about something, and I catch myself and I go, oh my God, I feel so stupid. I'm complaining about this to you. Look at what you've gone through. And she's like, no, that's, you can't think of it like that. Everyone's life is, everyone's problems are relative.
Right.
And I'm sitting here and I want to help you and I want to advise you with whatever's going on with your life. And just like you advise me. And so, you know, it's all, we all have to be there for each other. Some people's problems in the macro will of course be way greater than others. But it's a good thing to remember. It's a good thing to remember when you're complaining about some bullshit like an ice cream truck and then there's people sleeping on the street.
I heard that. That's real talk.
But I'm still going to snip that fucking wire.
You should. Go for yours.
I'm going to leave him, a crisp hundy and be like, sorry, this is for repairs next week. Next week.
All right, let's go to break.
We're going to go to break and we'll be right back with Donald Faison, the star of Clueless.
Hey! And we're back!
And we're back!
And a rap with little old me, Lamar. And a rap by little old me, Lamar. And a rap by...
Lambda, 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 and...
Uh-huh. Omega Moo. Hey, guys.
Daniel fucked up.
Joel and Daniel fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Here's what really happened is that our collective team that never fucks up finally decided to fuck up.
They finally decided to make it
happen. And I feel bad for the caller that is the recipient of your fuck up. They probably told all their friends and family they were going to be on Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
But guess what? You're not on tonight. You're not on today.
I'm so sorry.
It's Joel right.
And Daniel had a mix up about who was recording. What, Daniel?
I wasn't there, so
okay.
I
so
did Joelle not
had a mix up.
It's all me. It's all me. I own it. It's my mistake.
Joelle had an audio mix up and did not record the poor caller who's told all their friends and family they're going to be on Fake Doctors, Real Friends. Joelle, you better send them some GT's kombucha or something. Right, something.
I will get them something.
You better.
Something.
Will you please take the iHeart credit card and get them something because these
and
poor
if you don't
people,
want to buy them
I don't know
something,
Big Daddy
it's
Will
quite
would
all right.
Appreciate.
Will, you can buy, they can buy me something.
Give
Joelle.
Them a Hyundai, for God's sakes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Speaking
well, anyway, we're very sorry to you, the audience, and the caller, because we just don't have the audio. It doesn't exist. Joelle, you never mess up, but you did
well,
mess up.
Well, I'm going to say this. It'll be a very interesting show, but I don't fault Joelle for it. I fault Daniel. Not being there for you.
It's my fault. I fully
in
take
place
the
of
blame.
The caller,
file
no,
got corrupted.
No,
in place of where the
queen.
Caller, in place of where the caller would go, we're now going to play the Casey song because it's a bop.
Hey,
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools, so tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids, and that's what it is.
On that note,
all right.
We love you guys.
On that note, we love you. Where do they buy t-shirts, Joelle? Tell them. There's all sorts of merch in the shop.
There you go, Cotton Bureau. You type in Fake Doctors, and it's going to pop right up, y'all. Dope shirts. So many of you have sent me so many like sweatshirts and like little t-shirts with my face on it. That's wild to me, guys.
You can
I'll
buy,
never get over it.
You can buy a Joelle Monique onesie for your child. There's all sorts of cool stuff. You go to cottonbureau.com and then search for Fake Doctors, and you'll see all our wacky, silly merch. We love you. We care about you. Be safe. Be kind. Donald.
Respect.
Respect is right. And here to play us out is the amazing Carey Brothers with his song, Ride.